السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in our deen, in our religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given commands of various aspects of our life. And each and every one of the aspects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, or if Allah has prohibited us from something, it is of great importance and it has far-reaching consequences. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hadith has commanded us to perform salat, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from wrongdoings, to shun immorality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also emphasized upon us to inculcate good habits, to inculcate positive attributes. And in a similar manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized upon us to stay away from negative attributes, bad habits. This in Islamic terminology by the scholars of Islam is known as tahdhibul akhlaq, the adornment of one's character. The adorning of one's character would require us to inculcate good habits like honesty, love, kindness, compassion, and shun evil attributes like jealousy, malice, hatred. And one in particular that I would like to make the basis of my talk today, which is on pride and arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبْ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah does not love and like the one who is proud and arrogant. The one who is proud and arrogant is not loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this pride has great consequences upon our personal life and also the life of our community. It is not only an attribute which harms ourselves, but is an attribute that has consequences upon the smooth running and harmony of the community, as I would go on to explain. Perhaps it would be correct to say that out of all the spiritual ailments that besets humankind, pride is one of the most destructive. Ulama and scholars have written books, and some of them have entitled the malady of pride as Ummul Amrad, the mother of all spiritual ailments. And in reality, there is no exaggeration in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the scholars saying that this is the mother of all spiritual ailments. Because there is no evil a proud person would not resort to for the sake of bolstering his ego and his image and protecting his image, which becomes more important than any other aspect, even more important than faith at times, even more important than all other goodness, and more important than the benefits of himself and his community. If you were to ponder, and you will see, there is not an evil a proud person would not do. Jealousy and hasad, many times it is because of pride. You are jealous and envious about a person because you regard yourself as better than him. Sometimes you will see anger will be vented because of pride. So you don't see a person venting anger at someone who is superior to him. So very seldom do you find that a person would become angry with his boss or his employer. It's normally vented to those people whom he regards as inferior. And if you can't vent your anger, that very same pride becomes the means of malice in the heart. And then sometimes you will find that even kufr and disbelief stems from pride and arrogance. You would recall, as the Quran reminds us, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِعَادَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. And recall the time when Allah Ta'ala told unto the Malaika to worship and to make sijda, and for not worship, to make sijda for a specific reason which Allah had commanded in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the angels as is they want. La ya'suna Allah ma amarahum. They do not go against the command of Allah. They all went down into sijda except Iblis. And Allah Ta'ala says, wastakbar. He committed pride. Istakbar. Wakana min al-kafirin. Because of pride and arrogance, he became a disbeliever. Pride led him to the ultimate evil, which was disbelief. So when we say that there is no evil a proud person would not do and resort to, there is evidence with regard to it, where Iblis became a disbeliever out of pride and arrogance. And now when you see the harms of pride, then you will see the reason why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ وَحَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ كِبَرٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. Whoever has an atom of pride in his heart will not enter into Jannah. There is no exaggeration in this. Let me repeat this hadith. Whoever has an atom of pride in his heart, he will not enter into Jannah. There is no exaggeration in this, because pride is Shaitan's spark which consumed the righteous nature of humankind. Pride is Shaitan's spark which consumes the righteous nature of humankind. After understanding the harms, let us understand what is pride. Our ulama, when they define pride, and the scholars of Islam, when they define pride, they say that there are two categories of pride. One which is known as concealed pride, and one which is known as apparent and open pride. There is a slight difference in the two technically. Concealed pride means where you regard yourself as highly. You regard yourself as someone who is very great. In English, the word for it is conceitedness. The word for it is conceitedness. And in Urdu, those who know Urdu, those people who have defined conceitedness in this way, jab aadmi apne ko bara samajhne lagta hai, to khuda ke nazar mein gir jata hai. When a person starts thinking highly about himself, then he falls down in the esteem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about this when he said, thalathum muhlikat, three things are exceedingly destructive to you. Right? And the one of them, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ijabul mar'i bi nafsi, when a person starts thinking highly of himself, it is a highly destructive spiritual disease which has become all common, where everyone starts thinking highly about himself. Maybe kucho, I'm also like this. And I will tell you why it is wrong as we go along in our talk. And then while that is known as concealed pride, the other pride is the apparent pride. Now after thinking highly of yourself, the next step is where you regard yourself better than another person. Where you start thinking about yourself as better than another person. Now that is the actual pride. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from regarding ourselves superior to another person, that call cannot be made by you and I. That call and that judgment can only be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَعَالَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْغَاشَاكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرُضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ عَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah knows you, O human being, each and every one of you. Allah knows you before you were conceived. Allah knows you before your existence. Allah knows you when you were in the wombs of your mother. Allah knows you so well. He knows you in and out. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't praise yourself. He knows who is taqwa. He knows who has taqwa. He knows who is pious. He will make the call. By you making that call doesn't make you pious. He will make the call who is pious, because he knows you better than what you know yourself. So this is the aspect that you, today you and I, we have forgotten this. That call of who is better than another person cannot be made by you and I. It will be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not only to stay away from pride, but even not to even adopt the method and any indication with regard to pride. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on the earth with pride and arrogance. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. By you walking with pride in the earth, you cannot split open the earth. You cannot reach the mountaintops. Don't even adopt the method and the ways of those people who are proud and arrogant. Don't even walk like a proud person. Walk with humility in the earth. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. The pious bondsmen of Allah, when they walk upon the earth, they walk with humility. They don't walk with pride, because they know pride only suits Allah, not you and I. Human beings today, they adopt various reasons and they adopt various ways to take over pride. If anyone wants to read the methods and reasons why human being resorts to pride, I would refer them to the Ihya ul-Ulum of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, who speaks about 7 reasons why human being takes pride in various things. And he breaks the arguments of each and every one of them who takes pride in various things. For example, I will just give you 1 or 2 examples. Some people take pride in lineage. Some people take pride in lineage. I am from this lineage. I am from this village. I am from this background. I am a Pathan. I am a Punjabi. I am a Gujarati. In Gujarati, I am from this village. And this and that. And inshallah, one of my topics during the course of the Path to Piety is about Islam and racism. I will deal with it in greater detail when I come to that. Let me just say one thing. The hadith of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَنْسَابُكُمْ هَذِهِ لَيْسَدْ بِمَصَبَّةٍ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. The lineage and the background that you come from is not the reason why you look down upon another person. Where do we get this, that I come from this lineage and therefore I am better than another person? Where do we get this? Where do we ever can bring this into our mind? When our religion teaches us, and our history teaches us, our legacy teaches us, that there was Abu Lahab, who came from the most distinguished ancestry and lineage, the Quraysh. And there was Bilal, who no one knew his lineage, and no one knew his grandfather. And I say, wallahi, on this khutbah and on this particular place,
Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
I say, wallahi al-azim,
Nare Takbir, Allahu Akbar.
We sacrifice 100 Abu Lahabs for 1 Bilal. But look at he was from Quraysh, the uncle of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what was Bilal? But yet, after knowing that legacy, we still have the audacity to regard ourselves superior on the basis of lineage. So far removed from our legacy and teachings. And yet we say we are enlightened. We are people who are knowledgeable. And yet we go and do things that are stooped in ignorance, which was the way of the method in the days of ignorance. Some people take pride in wealth. And anyone who wants to take pride in wealth, I refer you to a verse in the Holy Quran, in Surah Zukhruf. And I want each and every one of you, I can go into many examples of why wealth is not the basis of superiority. But instead of using all of that, I use a verse of the Holy Quran to make you think about this matter. And I want each and every one just to think about this verse as I go through the wisdom which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imparted. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً Had it not been for the fear that each and every human being would become part of one ummah, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ I would have made available to those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What would I have given them? لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ I would have given each and everyone homes, the roofs of which would have been made of silver. لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَزْهَرُونَ There would be staircases of silver. I would have given the most palatial homes to those who deny Allah. But why didn't I do so, say Allah? I didn't do it because for the sake of that wealth, people would have denied Allah. Had it not been for the fact that it would have been too great a temptation in front of human being, Allah says, I would have given the most wealth to those people who deny Allah. But because it would have been a great temptation, I didn't do so. How do you take superiority and pride in wealth when Allah says I would have made it freely available? I'm not saying it's not permissible. Permissible, take it, utilize it in the right way. La ba'sa bil ghina liman ittaqillaha azza wa jal. There is nothing wrong with wealth to a person who fears Allah, he will use it correctly. What I'm talking about is regarding it the basis for you to regard yourself superior than another person. Then some people take pride in their deeds. They feel that if I am pious, I am better than the person who is not pious. Now yes, taqwa and piety is the basis of superiority. Where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ The most honorable amongst you are those who have taqwa. But who decides who has taqwa? On what basis do you make the decision that you have taqwa and you have more piety than the person who is next to you? Who makes that call? And on the other hand, you see, piety is only the basis of superiority if you remain steadfast upon it and you die upon it. And it is the basis of superiority if Allah Ta'ala accepts. If Allah doesn't accept, what is the use of your piety? What is the use of your ibadat? What is the use of all your good deeds if Allah Ta'ala rejects? And that is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he does all great things, and during the course of all his great things, and after willing to sacrifice his son, goes in Makkah Mukarramah, and after going into Makkah Mukarramah, he builds the Kaaba. After all of that, he makes dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna, O Allah, accept from me. You are all hearing and all knowing. Who knows what will our situation be at the time of our death? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said in a hadith, sometimes a person does good deeds, there's only one span between him and Jannah. Allah withdraws hidayat and he goes into the fire of Jahannam and he turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes a person does evil deeds, there is one span between him and Jahannam. Allah ta'ala grants him hidayat, he becomes a righteous person and he goes into Jannah. Who is there to decide on that matter? How do you regard yourself better than another person on the basis of your deeds? Now, all of that I break every argument which the ulama have done, that we are not supposed to regard ourselves superior than another person. Can I tell you, brothers, that particular attribute of regarding oneself superior and great belongs only to Allah. Kibriyai to sirf Allah ta'ala ko zeb deta hai. Greatness only looks great on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, it is one of our greatest attributes that we regard ourselves as lowly servants of Allah. Humility is the correct garb for us to be in front of Allah. Humility is the right garb for us to be in this world. Allah Ta'ala, when He took the beloved of Allah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the highest stages of Jannah, and He took him to Mi'raj, and Allah Ta'ala refers to him, what did He refer to him as? Subhanalladhi asra bi abdi. Glory be to Allah who took his bondsman, who took his servant to Mi'raj. In his greatest moment of excellence, Allah referred to him as a servant. And in that lies our greatness. Brothers, today we are in a world where there is great amount of emphasis upon our own selves. As I said yesterday in one of my talks, the trinity of the age that we are living in is me, myself, and I. People don't like humility. They say sometimes humorously, what they say, it's so hard to be humble when I'm so great. People make these comments. But humility is the way of the pious people. Humility is our garb. Humility suits us. Greatness is for Allah. Leave it to Allah. And therefore Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, Al-kibriya'u rada'i wal-azmatu azari. That greatness is my garment, says Allah. Pride is my sheet. Whosoever competes with me with regard to these two things, whoever competes with me, regards himself as proud and arrogant, regards himself as great, he is competing with Allah. And one who competes with Allah, Allah Ta'ala will destroy him. And when we look at the way of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who could have perhaps laid claim to greatness more than our beloved? Who could have claimed greatness more than our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But yet, do you know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be the one who, in his home, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, he used to mend his own clothes, he used to sew his own clothes, he used to clean his home, he used to wear his own clothes. He did not wait for people to wait upon him. He did his things on his own. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the occasion of the Fatah of Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when someone could have said, here is an occasion of pride, here is an occasion where I can show my greatness, here the people who were there, who were the ones who had abused me when I was in my initial stages of prophethood, here they are at my mercy. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters triumphantly into Makkah. On his camel back, he is singing the praises of Almighty Allah, saying, Alhamdulillahi wahdah, wa nasara abdah, wa anjaza wa'dah, wa hazam al-ahzab wahdah. Glory be to Allah who has helped his bondsman. He himself, only Allah, has fulfilled his promises. Only Allah has caused the enemy to be defeated. And he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his occasion of greatness, on the occasion of what is supposed to be greatness. And the ulama say, on the back of the camel of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a piece of cloth that was not even worth 4 dirhams. Which was not even worth 4 dirhams. And the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bowing his head in gratitude as he enters into Makkah triumphantly. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who can deny the greatness of Umar ibn Khattab? When he said, لو كان بعدي نبيٌ, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, had there been a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar ibn Khattab. The same Umar, many a times while he is giving sermons in the masjid, sometimes he is, and he allowed himself, and he allowed people to question him. And one day when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said a certain thing, I don't want to go into the details, a woman got up and said, ibn Khattab, this is not correct. The Quran says such and such a thing. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala got down from the minbar and he said, Kullun nas a'lamu min Umar hatta al-aja'iz. Everyone knows more than Umar. Even an old woman knows more than Umar. That Umar, when he was on his deathbed, his head was on the ground. His head was first on the lap of his son, Abdullah ibn Umar. And when his head was on the lap of his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he told his son, oh my son, put my head on the ground. He put his head on the ground and he rubbed his face on the ground and said, Wailul laka ya ibn Khattab. Destruction be your lot, ibn Khattab, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive you. Ibn Khattab, destruction will be your lot if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive you. That Umar about whom Allah ta'ala said, Umar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar fil Jannah. Umar will be in Jannah. That is the humility that he has. And today, we read 2 rakats extra nafil and we feel we are greater than Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Where is our humility gone? And I've made mention in the beginning, and I will just conclude and come to the conclusion of my talk. It is not only a personal attribute. It is not only a personal harm to your personal self. Brothers, this pride and arrogance has become the means of great amount of turmoil in our community, in our society. Many of the disputes that we have in our family, many of the disputes that we have in our community, the basis of that is our own ego and our pride and our arrogance. Wallahi, if we did not have this pride and arrogance, we would not have disputed with people. Who was more proud and arrogant than Fir'aun? The one who said, Ana Rabbukum al-Ala, I am your Lord. He told people, I am your Lord. And yet, when he was drowning, the Quran has recorded his last moments. Hatta idha adrakahu al-gharq. When Fir'aun was drowning, what did he say? Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel. I bring iman on the Lord of Bani Israel. Wa ana min al-muslimin, and now I want to become a Muslim. I ask each and every one of you in this congregation, if any one of you has a dispute with anyone, think of yourself at the time of death. Wallahi al-azim, death is the greatest leveler. It will bring your pride down to your knees. At the time of your death, what will be the result of all the disputes that you have? What will be the meaning of all the disputes that are grudges that you carried? When death even brought to a person like Fir'aun down to his knees, that he at that time said, I bring iman on the Lord of Banu Israel. That Banu Israel that he all the time oppressed, and that Banu Israel that he looked down upon, and at the time of his death he said, I bring iman on the Lord of Banu Israel. I ask each and every one of you who carry grudges, who carry disputes, think of yourself at the time of death, and you will realize that all of your disputes is nothing but bolstering of your ego. Leave your disputes and think of yourself in that particular time. It is also this pride and arrogance that has been the means throughout the Islamic world, in all our Islamic communities and societies, that has stunted our development, has stunted the progress of our communities. And I want to give you the example of none other than Umar ibn Khattab and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was the greatest general, not only in Islamic but human history. There is not a battle in which he did not take part, in which he did not achieve victory. One of the reasons our ulama say he was given the title of the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how could a sword of Allah ta'ala ever be defeated? But despite that, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the eve of one of the greatest battles and decisive battles in the history of Islam, at the time of that time, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes a letter to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. I have removed Khalid bin Walid from the leadership of the Muslim army. You take over. And Umar ibn Khattab had behind his mind that people are starting to say that Islam is gaining victory because of Khalid. And he wanted to put paid to that particular notion. And he said, Islam will gain victory because of Allah, not because of any individual. Allah Ta'ala will progress Islam, not because of you and I. Not because of you and I. What is our worth? Allah Ta'ala will progress Islam according to His wisdom. Allah Ta'ala can do away with you. Don't ever feel that you have done a favor to Islam. كُلَّا تَمُنُّ عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Don't show a favor to Allah by your good deeds and your Islam. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah has favored you by giving you Islam. You haven't favored Islam by coming into Islam. Allah has favored you by coming into Islam. How dare you ever feel that I'm contributing to Islam? So Umar wanted to put paid to that view that we are gaining victory on the battlefield because of the greatness of Khalid. So he changed Khalid. And the point that I would like to make, when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to know about it, he gently moved away from being the general. And afterwards he continued fighting for the sake of Allah and his Rasul. And someone one day came to Khalid bin Walid and said, Oh Khalid, why are you still fighting? Why are you fighting? Umar has removed you from being the general. Why do you continue fighting? And what did he reply? Since when am I fighting for Umar? I am fighting for Allah. I am fighting for Allah. So if he has removed me, so what happens? I want you to take that example and take the example of what happens in my country, South Africa, in many other parts. I can't say here with regard to any certainty, but I know given the notion with regard to it, how much of our personality clashes have stunted the progress of Islam. And look at this example. That irrespective of what happened, he said, I will continue serving Islam because I'm not fighting for Umar. Brothers, personality clashes is also because of pride. The Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he forgave and when Wahshi accepted Islam, then what did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He told him, Wahshi, this will be the last what I will say. Wahshi, your Islam, inna al-Islama yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam wipes away whatever has been done in the past. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. But because every time I see you, I'm going to be reminded about my uncle whom you killed. Because I'm a human being with normal emotions. Please don't come in front of me. Even the person whom the beloved of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to see because of a reason, he did not prevent his spiritual progress. He did not prevent his spiritual progress because he did not look at personality clashes. He looked at the cause, which is more important than our ego. Brothers, in conclusion, I started off by saying pride is the mother of all spiritual ailments. I gave you the reason why it is the mother of all spiritual ailments. It is any, there is not an evil deed which a proud person will not resort to protect his ego. I gave you the definition of pride, saying that there are two types of pride, concealed and open. Concealed is known as conceitedness, then pride. I gave you some of the reasons why people take pride in, why all of that is rejected. Then I also spoke about pride only belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It only suits Allah. For us, it suits us to be humble. I give you examples of humility of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then I said how pride and arrogance also becomes the means of disputes and also becomes the means of stunting the community development. Just one beautiful example I will give you. One of our great scholars was Shaykh al-Hadith Hazrat Mu'ana Zakaria sahab rahmatullah alayhi, who wrote many books of commentaries of hadith. He used to say, I never used to regard myself as worthy of going in front of the qabr of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not anything, it was his own personal view. It's nothing, nothing haram for a person who feels, I want to go make salam in front of the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, two times in my life, I took up the courage to go in front of the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once he said, I went with another scholar by the name of Maulana Asad Madani, rahimahullah. And once I went with Maulana Sayyid Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, I caught the kurta and I went in front of the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, the reason why I went in front of the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were these two people. Both of them were Sayyids. Both of them were from the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I felt that I am so weak, I can't go myself in front of the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I catch the kurta of these two people who are the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me. Brothers, this is the humility that you and I are supposed to bring in our life. May Allah give you the tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.